it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And he's lost three in a row for the first time in his career.
You hate to see it. You really do. I'm not burying them, by the way. I'm not falling for the old okie doke. We always used to do as the Patriots. They're cooked. They're done. They're not going to win. And then what do? They rattle off 8, 9, 10 in a row. They win the division and then win the Super Bowl.
Joe, your franchise quarterback was out. Your Hall of Fame tight end was out. Yep. You lost two players on offense in this game. You're on the road. Yep. All right. You got a new kicker. You survived that. You've got a young defense in transition. Right. So all these things are working against you. And you look up this morning and you're 2-0. And I just glance at the NFC and I say to myself, all right, Philly's awesome. Right. We all acknowledge Philly's awesome. We'll see with the Commanders. I still think they're a good team, but we'll see. Does anyone believe in the Cowboys? Not really. Green Bay's an excellent team.
Who might?
They're an excellent team. The rest of that division might not be as good as they were last year. I'm talking about Detroit and Minnesota specifically.
Detroit did flex on the Bears. And by the way,
the Bears suck.
They stink. They're awful. And I'm a big Caleb fan. I'm rooting for the guy, just like I was with Trevor Lawrence. Both those guys, yikes. Stock way down on both those number one overall picks.
No, but you would agree, like, things are up in the air in that division. Absolutely. Outside of the Packers. I look at the South. Like, Atlanta was impressive last night, but the Vikings, I don't know. Like, Tampa Bay, we will
McCarthy
see.
McCarthy looked awful. He looked like a rookie. He did. Okay. And he's going to have up and down weeks. Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
Tampa Bay, we'll see tonight. You got the Niners, the Cardinals, and the Rams, all in the NFC West, all 2-0. We'll see. You get an opportunity to play two of these teams over the next 3 weeks, and you're going to get a firsthand look at what they're going to be. Seattle is not going to go away.
No.
Big win on the road yesterday for them. And so I say to myself, you're 2-0. A lot of stuff has gone wrong. You're a team that's kind of a work in progress. McCaffrey's made it through both games, and I'm encouraged. He looks good. I think it was the best that he's ran in 2 years yesterday, even though the numbers weren't robust. Pearsall is coming into his own as a trusted pass catcher. Boy, it was great to have Juwan Jennings back. It's nice to mix in Brian Robinson, even if he runs a little high for my liking. I think that this defense is they're not even close to what they're going to be come week 12, 14, 16. I think they're going to be so much better down the road. Things are shaping up, and you're 2-0. I feel so optimistic about the Niners this year.
I wonder where Niner fans are at right now. Starting off 2-0, how impressed are you and how optimistic are you now about this team? Prior to this past, like, listen, this time last week there was concerns. Then we found out, you know, Brock Purdy, he's going to have the turf toe injury. He's going to be out for a couple weeks. You know, the touch of the Christian McCaffrey. You had question marks about the kicker. I know Eddie Pinheiro missed the extra point, and we were all pulling out our hair.
He pushed it right.
Immediately
he pushed it. It was like one of my, I call it breakfast balls. You know, you wake up, you don't get any swings. You go out to the first hole, and you just push one out of bounds, just straight to the right.
Was it Judge Smales? I never slice it immediately into the woods. I do that every single time.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, and I never slice.
So good.
God dang it.
I want a hot dog and a cheeseburger. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live in the Free Odyssey app, coming live from the Laughing Monk Studios. We're fired up.
What a win.
26-21 the final. 49ers 2-0, fighting through a hell of a lot of just adversity in general, Joe, these first 2 weeks. I know a lot of other teams are dealing with their crap, but the Niners had question marks with their Hall of Fame left tackle. They don't have their Hall of Fame tight end. You do have your Hall of Fame linebacker making Hall of Fame plays yesterday. And this is not going to be talked about at all, and we're going to go to the phones. TC, Richie, Boss, Manny, we'll get to all of you, I promise. That play they had to end the first half, who was it? Was it Stout and Fred Warner cleaning up Alvin Kamara when they were just trying to run just a play to end the half? But they absolutely popped whoever that running back was, and they ran into the tunnel with so much swagger. Again, it's not going to be talked about, but I had so much confidence in that team. How they orchestrated that 2-minute drive there, Joe, to end that half, it spoke volumes about what they did into the second half with all that swagger they were playing. I was, again, top to bottom, I was impressed. There were some things they got to clean up, but we know it's not going to be a perfect defense. But all I want to see is flashes from everyone. I saw Mykel Williams flash. He had a couple tackle for losses.
He looked good.
He looked, by the way, he looks like the biggest player on the field every time he's out there. He is a monster.
He's 20.
Inside. I know. He's got 20. Room to grow, too.
Alfred Collins hit the quarterback. Like, there's a lot to be happy with. And I thought that the way that they utilized Bosa inside, outside, Huff, yep, doing stunts and twists, they did a really good job. Let's go to the phone lines.
Let's do it. TC, Sacramento. You know there's quarterback conversations when TC and Sac is calling. What's up, TC?
Joe Spadoni, what's going on, man?
Dude, I'm feeling it, brother. 2-0. How you feeling? You should be pumped up.
Hey, Sasky. Hey, I told y'all my angle like this. I'm not coming on. I'm not coming to poop or nothing, bro. I'm just winning and get it done, right? Sasky, what I was excited about is Salah. You know the freaky defense we got going on. Matt, bro, if not identical to Brock, bro, if not a little better than Brock, right? That's a game that Brock would have damn near had, but he would have had an interception, maybe an interception or two. Matt didn't turn over the ball. And he did what he did, right?
He did have a fumble, TC. Let's be fair here.
I know, but listen, Niners fans, let's bring it back full circle. We all didn't want Mac Jones, right? We was all, oh, Mac Jones, that ain't the pick. Well, hey, the dude is showing out now. I'm not going to jump on him. He just, to me, he looked identical to Brock, bro, if not better. The Niners got the win. Shasky, I told you, there ain't no excuses coming from me, bro. Get it done. You got your guy in the building, Shanahan. We're not going to throw a parade because we're 2-0, bro. We just got to get it down, period.
I would disagree with you on this.
Thanks, TC.
I actually did not think it looked exactly like a Brock game. And I think that was the beauty of Shanahan tailoring some of the plays to fit Mac's ability. Mac held on to the ball probably four plays that stick out to me that I wrote down a little too long. One of them was the one that he got strip sacked on. And that's something he's going to have to clean up. They don't throw outside the numbers routinely, and they did it on third down twice by design to clear out space. And I don't think they do that with Purdy because of the arm strength of Mac Jones. Secondarily, I think that they use Purdy on the run more by design with the play action boot stuff to get him different platforms to throw from, and I thought that the game plan shifted, and rightfully so. No, I don't think that that was a Purdy game plan. I thought that Kyle adjusted accordingly. I thought the team adjusted accordingly. But why do we have to elevate one and like knock down the other? Can't we just prop up one independently of the other? Mac had a great game. It means nothing about Purdy's status going forward. He is the franchise quarterback.
I mean, the notion that Brock Purdy couldn't do what Mac Jones did yesterday, I get it, some of the throws, but Brock does it in a different way.
He does.
That's okay. Lamar Jackson does it in different ways. You know, Josh Allen does it. Like it's not always going to be the same. Mac Jones' skill set are going to be different. And Kyle Shanahan is trying to cater to that while also playing within the offense. By the way, you know, you said it right there. It looked different because there were 39 throws from Mac Jones yesterday. You know how many times Brock Purdy did that last year? 39 throwing attempts or more? Just last season. Can you just guess off the top of your head?
I would say the Detroit game, maybe three times.
Once. He had 40 attempts in a loss to the Miami Dolphins, 26 of 40.
He didn't even do it in the Detroit game. Wow.
No, 35. So he did that one time last year.
I mean, they dropped back 45 times yesterday, and they didn't attempt 45 passes, but they wanted to.
They wanted to.
I mean, in the first half, to have 25 dropbacks was jarring.
I mean, the first opening sequence, Joe, for the Niners was three straight passes. Like not featuring your best player on offense, which we all would agree is Christian McCaffrey still, was kind of nuts, but speaks to Kyle Shanahan and his trust in Mac Jones' arm, right?
I also think the part that's going to get lost is everyone's going to say it's the trust in Mac Jones. I think it was also because Staley was loading the box, which they do every week, but in particular, Staley knows your personnel, your scheme better than anyone, and I thought that taking away Christian McCaffrey after being overutilized last week was probably the more appropriate correction and overcorrection by Shanahan. I don't think this is, like, don't glean too much into this. They did that to win the game.
Well, it was almost like, and you mentioned the Patriots early on, and obviously Mac Jones starting his career there, it was almost like kind of that Tom Brady, Josh McDaniels offense where you're using the short passing game to basically be your running game.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're doing. You're doing some dinking and dunking, get these guys out in space, and that's the way they're collecting. Like, listen, 6 receptions, 52 yards for CMC. Just add that to his total. Over 100 yards total Like, just take that right there. 13 carries only for him. I feel great about how they're using Christian McCaffrey and how they pivoted their offense in this game.
My favorite play was the red zone play where they put him into the slot and then ran the out. It was a beautifully thrown ball by Mac Jones. Mac Jones on third down made some great throws. The one on the 2-minute drive that he ripped to Jennings over the top, that I think we were all like, uh-oh, and it was just perfect, right in his breadbasket. I mean, he hit some good throws. He also threw a couple of late into the flat. Like the one in particular that sticks out to me was to Braden Willis. He threw late and behind him in the flat. That's a play that could have got intercepted. Isaac Yiadom wanted to jump on a ball to Jennings early in the game where he read it and he kind of stared him down. So there's some growing pains. And you know, Mac admitted, like, hey, I looked a little tentative early on in the game. I was a little nervous.
There was one to Marquez Valdes-Scantling where he threw behind him. And MVS actually... If he didn't hit the ball, it was going to be a pick.
It's a great
call. So it's actually a good play.
He got his hand up ever so carefully.
So it was actually end up being a good play.
Everybody's
going to
throw oh-no throws. Yeah. Guys, like, I watched Mahomes yesterday against the Eagles. It looked ugly. He missed two wide-open guys over the top and overthrew them by 10 yards. It's one of the greatest players we've ever seen.
We're getting mixed signals here on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. A lot of people impressed. A lot of people saying, great, you beat the Saints. Do it against the Cardinals. What have you done for me lately?
It's a great win. Why can't it just be a great win?
I agree.
Why does it have to be this sweeping proclamation on one quarterback or the other or what it means for the future? It's a great win. You're 2-0.
Because we want to compare and contrast the quarterbacks always. But I'd argue this. They're not doing that in Cincinnati with Jake Browning, who got a win yesterday. Great. And I know he's had some flashes as a backup in the past. But they're not all of a sudden saying there's quarterback controversy over in Cincinnati with the Bengals. They're not doing that. And we're not doing that here in San Francisco. I get it, because people are going to say, oh, Joe, well, you can't compare Joe Burrow and Brock Purdy. No. Brock Purdy is the highest paid player in the history of the 49ers. He's their starting quarterback. When he comes back, when he's healthy, he's going to be starting. There's no question marks about that. What's feeling good if you're a 49ers fan, we'll pick this up on the other side, is the fact that now we actually have a backup we know can win a game. You didn't have that last year. You had Brandon Allen and Josh Dobbs, Joe, who stunk. They stunk. Mac Jones, he's a lot of things. He doesn't stink. He can win you a game, okay? And that's a big plus coming away from yesterday. That's what's coming out of the game. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. Robin San Bruno, Richie in Palo Alto, Boss, Manny, all of y'all coming up next. It's Spadoni and Chasky's The Morning Roast. Niners 2-0, baby.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Warriors did offer a three-year, $75.2 million deal with a team option in the third year in that deal last week, I guess, to JK. And he's like, nah, I don't like that team option. Nah, I'm good.
This Kuminga thing is just, I mean, it's just.
But that'll take care of itself another day. And if there is breaking news on that, feel free to hit it. I am not, it's not even on my radar today. I'm just going to be honest. It's not. You know what's on my radar?
Hope Mike Jones.
There you go.
It's even worse. Yeah,
it's so good. Mac Jones, baby, is on top of my mind.
Return of the Mac?
Hey, you know what? That's the next rejoin. Return of the Mac right there. 26 to 39, 279 yards.
Hey.
Three tutties. Did have the lost fumble, so we're not going to forget about that. But he looked good.
Looking around this entire roster, if I'm Mac Jones, hey, anytime anyone did anything good, they just held out for more money and an extension. I think he's on a 2-year deal right now. If I'm Mac Jones, right now, today is the day to hold out. It's a joke. Well, it's a joke.
According to Adam Schefter, the Bengals are now looking for some free agent quarterbacks that could get into their room. So
this is why you invest in the backup quarterback, though.
Massive.
To win a road game early in the year. I just don't think any of the backups, throw Brock to the side because we didn't know how good Brock was going to be. I just don't think any of their backups would have been able to do this over the last couple of years at all.
And at least Brock was an investment from the organization. He was a draft pick. So, like, there is something to be said investing in a player.
That's true.
Like, not some hired, no name that means nothing. Like, Brandon Allen. Who was Brandon Allen? Stop. Oh, but he learned behind Joe Burrow. Great. Curtis Painter learned behind Peyton Manning and sucked ass.
But even if it was Josh Dobbs, even if it had, I don't think Josh Dobbs wins that game.
No, he doesn't. The Pastronaut, great. He had a cup of coffee. He looked good in Kevin O'Connell's offense, which, as we know, even J.J. McCarthy can look good there. I'm kidding.
Other part of this is, like, winning in the NFL is really hard. This thing that people are like, well, I'm not, it's just the Saints. Yeah, okay. Stacking wins against teams like the Saints gets you up to the 10-11 win mark. So let's say there's, you know, 20 weeks in a season, and you might only win 10 games. Dude, you don't apologize for victories.
Never. And
you take them, and you run with them.
And you take it now because, yeah, you might lose to the Cardinals next week. Hell, they're home dogs right now, Joe.
Are they?
It's just kind of crazy.
Well,
yeah.
The Cardinals lost some defensive players in that game over the weekend, too.
They did against the Panthers. And again, it's not like they've played amazing teams over the weekend. They've beaten the Saints and the Panthers, who we all think are what? Two of the worst teams in the NFL? So let's all pump the brakes a little bit here when it comes to the vaunted Arizona Cardinals. I get it. The Cardinals swept you last season. One of those games really was meaningless because it's against Josh Dobbs. And the other one, Kyler looked good. He looked good. Let's see what Kyler does this week, and this is going to be the biggest test thus far, I think, offensively, going up against Robert Saleh's defense, Joe. I do believe that. We have full phone lines. You want to go to him?
Let's hear him.
888-957-9570 is the number to call or text. Let's kick it off with Richie in Palo Alto, who's been hanging on patiently. What's up, Rich?
Yo, what's good, guys? You can hear me?
Oh, yeah, we're just waiting.
What's up, Richie?
Bring it, baby. Let's go.
So, I like Mac Jones, and he did not really surprise me. I wasn't really surprised by his performance. He performed about what I would expect given the the point I'm trying to make right now is that I think we have to keep it in perspective. I can't draw too much from this game because the Saints have a really bad defense, and they could not have been a more perfect team for him to make his debut against. However, for me, I have all the enthusiasm that you guys have about many other phases of the team, but for me, my concern it really stems from last week where I don't think there's maybe three or four quarterbacks at most in the NFL. With our offensive line, would have won in Seattle last week, and I don't think Mac Jones. And not there's no way Mac Jones, in my opinion, is. I don't think.
Look, we don't have to measure the two. We don't have to measure the two against each other. The beauty is this: they've paid Brock Purdy. All right, and we're going to find out whether he's worth every single penny or they underpaid him or they overpaid him over the life of the contract. For right now, Mac Jones is filling in more than adequately until Brock returns. And it gives them more of a time to not rush a guy with a serious toe injury that we know can linger. And as we found out this morning where Joe Burrow is going to miss the next 3 months, why rush Brock back if you can afford to have a guy play adequately like Mac Jones did yesterday? I don't think this means nothing to Brock Purdy currently. Now, if he goes on a 10-win, win streak, all right, well, then we'll start having conversations. It's 1 week. It's a great win. I thought he looked great.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you. It was a great win. All I'm trying to say is that I worry that let me ask you guys, because, like, I know you said, Shasky, you mentioned that, like, there was a couple, like, four times where he might have, like, held the ball too long.
He did, yeah.
I felt like on a lot of plays, like, he was so close. Like, if we were playing up against a better defense, I'm worried how he's going to look because our offensive line does not pass protect very well. If we had a better offensive line.
Well, I thought yesterday there was only three pressures.
Thanks, Richie.
PFF does all the advanced numbers. Only three pressures on pure dropbacks. Mm. So that was really good. And we could, quibble about pressures or whatever. The one that they gave up the sack on, Mac admitted it after the game. Like, yeah, I held on to the ball way too long on that play. And so, that's going to happen.
They have some players over there on that defense. I know, shout out Kool-Aid McKinstry, who had that holding or illegal contact call. But I thought Carl Granderson looked pretty freaking good, and they just paid him a premium, I think, last offseason. Cameron Jordan is probably going to be a Hall of Famer. Now, I didn't hear his name a whole hell of a lot yesterday, but they have names out there.
Why are people so sensitive over Brock Purdy's status? And I don't know. I feel like this whole thing, I could feel there's like a desperation in Niner fans' voices. Guys, we went on the road with our backup quarterback and won a game. Do you remember the Green Bay game last year that Brandon Allen played? He was unplayable.
I think there's just
unplayable. playable.
There's an insecurity by nature when it comes to 49er fans in the quarterback position.
That's a good point.
There just is a quarterback insecurity. Like, talking about, like, security, yeah, Patrick Mahomes has that. Lamar Jackson has that. Josh Allen, maybe Joe Burrow, I don't know. A guy gets hurt a lot. But there's definitely a quarterback insecurity when it comes to 49er fans and that position. There just is, inherent by nature, Joe. And maybe it just goes back to the Steve Young, Joe Montana thing. You mentioned, you referenced it, Jeff Garcia, Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick, Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo, now Brock Purdy. There is just this, I don't know what to call it, other than insecurity when it comes to the fan base, and they love their guy, Brock Purdy, and we're not saying you can.
But there is...
Doesn't it feel good, though, knowing you have someone you can rely on to win you a game
yes.
if he goes down?
Yes.
That's all we're talking about.
But there
about.
Is also this elephant in the room of, was this the guy Shanahan wanted all along?
Like,
so there's that.
You know I believe that.
Part, I know you do.
I believe that.
I'm coming around on that. I don't know where I stand currently right now. I'm up in the air, but I do think that Kyle called that game two-part. Number one, yes, I do think he likes Mac Jones. That's number one. The second part is I think Brandon Staley being on the other sideline, knowing how important Christian McCaffrey, not that, I mean, duh, hey, Niners are going to want to run the ball, Christian McCaffrey with the backup quarterback, like, obviously. And Kyle came out and he threw the ball and he did a really good job. I just love the way Kyle utilized CMC. See, I think that's the part we're not really talking about today because we're stuck up in this Mac Jones thing, and I get it. Pearsall, third down three different times, made huge clutch catches with guys draped on him, and the ball placement from Mac Jones was excellent. Secondarily, they used CMC in the slot as a wide receiver a handful of times. One time, straight up, they didn't even do motion. They just went straight up, he's in the slot, let's go. The other time, they used him in motion and put him in the slot, and that was for that touchdown play. I love the way he used CMC in this game.
Well, we came away last week, and that's a great point, how concerned Niner fans were with the touches. They thought, and again, you mentioned it, I think he had the most touches, more so than any other skill position player.
That's crazy.
In the NFL last week in week one, it is crazy. But this week, I thought it was much more measured. I thought it was much more balanced. I see a lot of people just hating on Brian Robinson. Again,
he's upright. He's an upright runner.
But again, like I'm not like six carries for 20 yards. If he was more of a focal point of this offense going forward, I would hear you on that. But clearly, he's not. Well, I just need him to stay healthy, quite frankly.
And one of his runs, I believe, came back because of a hold, which was a good run. So. Look, there is a part of me that's like, God, why did you get rid of Jordan Mason?
Well, Jordan Mason's going to be and this is why Jordan Mason, I think, went over to the Minnesota Vikings. He knew that he might have an opportunity to be the number one by season's end, and
that's
already,
true.
After 2 weeks, Aaron Jones has a hurt hamstring, but, and Jordan Mason is going to be RB1 for Minnesota going forward.
And I don't even know what the stats say. They might only say like 60 or 75 yards on the ground.
For CMC?
Yeah.
55. 13 carries, 55 yards.
So less than what I thought. Yeah. I thought he ran decisively with great cutback, great vision, great speed, great power and burst. I thought I was more encouraged from this game running the ball. I'm talking about running just as a pure runner than the week before. I love the way they use CMC in this game.
Niners improved to 2-0 on the season, 26-21 the final down in Nolens. And by the way, again, another road game where Niner fans took over. We'll hear Kyle Shanahan talk about that. We'll hear from the quarterback, Mac Jones, Christian McCaffrey, all of it. But I want to hear from the people first because they've been waiting patiently. Let's go to Boss in Oakland.
What's up, Boss?
I'm a boss.
What's up, Joe? How you doing, my man?
I'm good.
Okay, good stuff. I just want to say, you know, winning the NFL is hard. You just said that a moment ago. It's real hard. I think they have not been impressive the first 2 weeks. I mean, they're pretty much a drive away from losing both games. But you just got to get it done. Something else needs to be said is that the NFL has changed so much now. These guys are not doing much in the preseason. It's like those first 2 or 3 weeks are darn near like the preseason. People are trying to shake out the cobwebs. I'm not a 49er fan, but I know how to look at things objectively. And Mac Jones, this was a guy that had a lot of pressure on him in New England, basically replacing Tom Brady as the heir apparent. He was a Pro Bowler his first year, so obviously he has some types of skills. So it wasn't surprising me seeing what he did yesterday. The 49ers have to clean up a few things. Secondary and Mike's going to have to get better because the season's now about to start to get in the thick of things. And you go on the road in the division, throw everything out. A lot of people know what you're going to do. It's going to be a pretty good game.
But I agree.
Niner fans, you need to be happy. You need to be
thank
happy.
You. Thank
being 2-0,
you.
Because you could be 0-2.
Thank
it
you.
Easy could be 0-2 because the Saints came. They played as hard as they possibly could. And I feel bad for the Saints. They're basically 1-2 plays away from possibly being 2-0.
I agree.
So be happy with your win and stop being selfish. I know you guys are Niner Empire and you won all those titles. But hey, 2025. Be happy where you're at today.
I completely agree. What a call and great perspective.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that I love about what he was saying. You're two drives away from losing, which he is correct. Like, that is the appropriate, like, reverse of what could have happened. Had Sorensen been the defensive coordinator, I think they do lose at minimum one, if not both of the games. Think about how it finished. The ball is in the other team's hand. They need to score a touchdown to win. That's basically what happens with timeouts in their back pocket. You had Bryce Huff make the plays yesterday. You had Nick Bosa also get a sack on that final drive. You had Fred Warner make a great pass breakup to create a fourth and two. And then the week prior, you had Nick Bosa in the red zone, essentially, pushing a guy, a lineman, into the quarterback and creating a strip sack. I don't think you get two defensive stands in a row with the season on the line if you don't have Robert Saleh. Robert Saleh has been awesome.
He's been, you know, you can't say MVP because that's player, but he's been the most valuable coach, the MVC he has. And I tweeted out yesterday, you know, if there was an award for comeback coach of the year, he would get it. It's week two. Again, it's early here. And you played against, you know, a division rival in their backyard, and you played against a notoriously tough place to play in the Superdome. Might not have that cachet anymore, but it's still a rabid fan base that gets very loud when they are playing well. But that's why it was so refreshing to see, because you got a lead and you kept the lead, Joe. And that's what you do in places like that that have tough opposing crowds. And by the way, the Niner fans just showing out. It is insane. Like, they do have the best road fan base in the NFL. I might be biased because I'm watching them with a fine-tooth comb every week. But I just feel whenever I watch a road game with the Niners being involved, Joe, there's just all red and gold. I just see it everywhere.
There's
it
this
pops.
Whole conversation about at the advent prior to cable television, you know, the teams that were the glory teams, Steelers, Cowboys, the Raiders to a degree, the Niners, you know, the Dolphins were for one time. They've been so bad for so long. And I think the Raiders suffer from this too.
Yeah.
They've been so bad for so long. I think a lot of the nationwide fans that were might have hopped off a little.
Yeah.
But those teams that were good in the glory days of six channels on your television, those teams have just giant fan bases. Yankees, the Lakers, the Celtics. Like, it's across sports. And so I think the Niners have a very Steeler-like, Laker-like, Yankee-like, Dodger-like fan base that goes across the country, and they travel really, really well. The other thing that I keep coming back to on this team is, you know, scheme matters. Vic Fangio knows what he's doing in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. Just won a Super Bowl.
He's great.
Didn't blitz once in the Super Bowl.
He's a great coordinator. But he runs a specific scheme. And in his scheme, they run like a 3-4. And Bryce Huff didn't fit the scheme at all. And then I look at Bryce Huff on a 4-3. And at times they run five defensive linemen.
Yeah.
You saw D Winters on the line, like playing right on the line. Five linemen on the line. But Bryce fits their 4-3 on the edge as a bend-around guy. He really fits. He's a situational pass rusher. He's not going to stop the run. He fits really well. Micah Williams fits this scheme really well. They play him on the inside. They play him a little on the outside on running downs. He can set the edge as a run stuffer. But as a pass rusher on the interior, he's excellent. So scheme really matters, and Saleh fits this personnel.
888-957-9570 is the number to get involved. Call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Niners 26, Saints 21. We're reacting to all of it. Niners 2-0 now heading back home for the first time at Levi's Stadium against the division rival Cardinals. We'll break that game down as the week goes on. But want to hear from the people today. How are we feeling about this Niners squad after 2 weeks? They're 2-0. That's all you can ask. You can only play who's in front of you. I don't care if you think it was impressive or not, because just winning in the NFL, whether it's against the Cleveland Browns or the Saints, or it could be, you know, a great team, it could be the Buffalo Bills, winning is so damn hard. And like Boston Oakland just referenced, Joe, the Saints could easily be 2-0 right now, but they're not. And that's the difference between winning and losing. A couple plays here and there.
You don't apologize.
Never apologize
for
winning.
You win and move on. Let's go to the phone lines. I want to hear from the people. 2-0, Niners.
Manny, Dunbarton Bridge. What's up, Manny? How are you feeling this morning?
Hey, long time no talk, guys. You know, my commute isn't as far as it used to be, but I do listen to you guys in the morning. I just didn't get a chance to call in. Shasky, can you believe that we have a legitimate backup quarterback ever since the days of, you know, Bono coming in for Steve and Joe? Now we have somebody that can actually come in and win in a pinch. So, Niner fans, let's not do no quarterback controversies. Let's not compare one to the other. The only thing that's got me shaking my head watching that game yesterday was, why did we waste all those draft picks on Trey Lance, on the Trey Lance experiment, when he was sitting there at 15? But that's neither here nor there. The last 2 weeks, this is what I'm excited about going into the season. Not only do we have a quarterback that can play, we also have the substitute we need for in D winners, and we also have legitimate tight ends that can actually play when Kittle's not around. Niner fans, this is a promising start to a very successful, hopefully, season. That's all I got, guys.
You know,
thanks, Manny.
We're going to dissect the trade, you know, pick forever. The more and more I think about it, though, the real crime wasn't just selecting Trey Lance. That was a bad move, right? There's no doubt about it. It was trading three picks to move up to three. That was the stupid move.
Well, remember, I referenced the thing I tweeted out last week, and it was Adam Schefter, ESPN, saying the Niners... This is according to Adam Schefter and his sources. So, again, you can believe it or not, Adam Schefter, I think he's pretty tapped in when it comes to the NFL, right? But he tweeted out the Niners traded up to the third spot in fear that the Patriots were going to trade up ahead of them to get Mac Jones. Now, maybe initially they thought they were going to draft Mac Jones, and they go through the process, and they take Trey Lance. I still think Shanahan, his inclination was he wanted Jones all along. Maybe someone talked him out of it, and they went with Lance, but... Initially, they traded up because they were afraid the Patriots were going to trade up to get Mac Jones.
This is Schefter saying that. What you're saying. What I'm telling you is that's terrible business. So that now we know, like, trading three picks for any player is a steep price. Like, what did Micah Parsons just go for? Two firsts and Kenny Clark. Yeah. That's a guy who's established. He's established. And he went for that. So that's my point. Is like you could say that they thought they were going to do this. Yeah, that was bad business by them. Trading three picks to move up to three was bad business. There's no other way around it.
The only other quarterback.
Mac wouldn't have lived up to those three picks either.
The only other quarterback from that draft class, or quarterbacks, I should say, that have played the first couple weeks, Trevor Lawrence, 0-2.
Yeah, he stinks. And I'm seeing Jags fans talk about Brian Thomas Jr. misses Mac Jones, which is crazy.
They do. Well, our girl, Mia O'Brien, down in Jacksonville, she told us. And then Justin Fields, 0-2. And he looked good week one, looked awful yesterday.
But
when you're a Jet all the way.
The thing about the three picks to move up and whatever, like, again, this is just going to be my thought process forever. They hated Jimmy so much, they couldn't wait to get his replacement. They were willing to sacrifice future picks to be able to get that one. I really think that relationship soured so much.
Well, then we learned from Mike Silver, then of the Chronicle, talking about, you know, Jimmy ghosting the team in the offseason. He didn't show up to, like, he didn't, like, talk to anyone. He literally would drop off. I don't know where it is, in Thailand, Mexico, whatever. He would just not text anybody for months at a time in the offseason. And that is not a great look for your franchise quarterback. Obviously, you couldn't stay healthy. That was the number
one.
But Kyle,
you could tell yesterday, like, Kyle likes Mac.
And of course, I like Mac. He's fun. Mac's got some swag.
Mac's solid, dude. He's really solid.
Mac Jones!
You can win games with him. But again, three picks is just look in the history of the game. Trading three picks for any player, you're probably going to be left, you know, wanting more.
All right. Here's a guy I haven't heard from in a minute. Actually, I heard from him last week, but that's when you know the Niners are back, baby. That's when Robin Sambruno's back. Rob, good morning.
Hey, Rob.
You're on the roast, buddy.
Missed you, buddy.
Good morning. How we doing, fellas?
I'm good.
Look, first off, I wasn't going to talk about this, but leave my boy Trey Lance alone, man. He never really got a chance. As we've seen, Cal has a type for quarterback. You know what I mean? Read the room. He has a type that he wants for quarterback. It is what it is.
What's the type? Hey, Rob, what's the type?
Hey, man. I don't get into politics, bro.
Okay. Continue.
Hey, look, but check it out, though. Y'all forget, Mac Jones played at Alabama. He played with some of the toppest competition in college football in the country. His first year, he did look to pass and go to the playoffs with a bad team. If you look at that game yesterday, dude looked like Matt Ryan. He looked comfortable in the system. Kyle looked comfortable putting him in position to make those plays. I thought his team loved him. Dude, that throw to Jennings was big time. He was throwing balls outside the number with ease. That throw to CMC
was great.
That was a touch. That was some touch deep throw. That was a perfect throw. And I'm gonna tell y'all this: it don't matter as long as CMC back there. It don't matter if Purdy or Mac Jones. The system's already in place. Then you add CMC. So as long as CMC is back there with the system and Kyle calling the plays, it's no real difference between Purdy or Mac Jones. Purdy got better feet, but Mac Jones can see over the line. And he can make throws that Purdy just can't.
Kyle just really
threw outside the number more times I've seen him do in years.
How about the little comeback? How about the one where he did the comeback to CMC on 3rd and 10? How great of a throw was that?
On a point. That's what I'm saying.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thing with Mac Jones is his feet slow.
Yeah,
but if you can protect him in this system, he can look like Matt Ryan. He had 3 touchdowns. You know what? No interceptions. No ammo. He had a couple ammo, but no interceptions. 3 touchdowns. 0 interceptions.
How about the touch pass? How about the touch pass to Pearsall over the middle on 3rd down, where he led him toward the sideline? I just thought he had some great ball placement throws.
No, he did a good job. Great job. And Pearsall, I'm starting to love it, dude.
I know.
don't run that. Don't run them jet sweeps. It's not his game.
Nah.
But him getting downfield, he know how to get open. I'm starting to like Pearsall.
I like Pearsall a lot.
It's Robin San Bruno. Starting to like him, too.
He had 3 tough, contested, guy on my shoulders, on my back, catches in traffic. Pearsall is a player.
3rd and Pearsall. Get used to it. No, seriously. Like, the guy is open on 3rd down. That's the money down. Like,
him and
I
Jennings,
gain a lot of respect for that.
Sorry, I'm running you off.
No,
him
good.
And Jennings are a good compliment from each other because they're completely opposites. You know, Jennings is slow, possession receiver, catch radius. I'm 6'3". I'm going to catch this in traffic. I'm not fast. Pearsall, I'm shifty. I'm athletic. I'm going to get open. I'm going to beat you off the boom, boom, little quick little move. I'm going to get a little separation, make a catch, go down. Like, they're a nice compliment to each other.
God, I keep thinking about that play where you texted in the chat where it was just the calm, cool, collective nature, just chilling, and then just like a cobra striking there, if I'm Mac Jones, right to Jennings, who you said Jennings was even shocked by how much zip was on that ball.
It caught him.
Snagged it,
yeah.
And then ran all the way. And we know he's not a speedster by any stretch of the imagination, Juwan Jennings. But for him to get that and get the yards after the catch for the touchdown was huge. Juwan Jennings, that's the number one wide receiver we saw last year. They missed that production. 5 receptions, 89 yards. Get more of that going forward.
Especially with no Kittle.
Yes.
See, I think that's the thing. Like, when you don't have Kittle, it makes Juwan Jennings that much more important, especially on those 3rd downs. The throw on the red zone, in the 2-minute drill, he threw a dime to Jennings over the top that was just gorgeous and set them up.
888-957-9570.
We're talking Mac
Jones. People are fired up.
Look at Carter. Carter's ear-to-ear smile.
And you know what?
So happy.
He's got his King's Fish House hat on, too, that he got for free at the Red and Gold Summit.
I think he's licking his wounds. He had a tough weekend.
No, I'm smiling. We got something going in the back here you guys are going to like later.
Oh, okay.
Some food?
Maybe that, too.
Some coffee?
Some Big Macs?
This is way better than that, though.
Wow, that's called a tease, people. 888-957-9570. By the way, ask and you shall receive. I asked for Nick and Berkeley, and now we're getting them. Nick and Berkeley on the Morning Roast, baby. Let's go.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Hey, he's not Little Mac from Punch-Out. He's Big Mac sacked now because he was firing balls all over the place, man. That boy Pearsall, oh, he's the real deal. You can put the cha-ching next to his neck. My boy Lil Stout. Cha-ching, you know what I'm saying? Putting my boy Bosa up top on the right side rather than the left side. He's rushing better on the right side, you know, up top than he is, off the left side when he pairs up with that big guy that I forget his name. But yeah, when they line up next to each other, man, they're collapsing the whole right side of the offensive lines, man. And you know what? Like, to say that the New Orleans Saints are weak and all that, the Saints were out for blood yesterday, man. They were at home. They're feeling good. And, you know, but, you know, who that team going to beat them Saints? And it's them Niners, baby. And that's what's up. And, you know, as far as the Cardinals come, Man, bring it on, Cardinals, because you know what? Salah, he's not playing checkers, man. He's playing chess. He's in the laboratory right now, I guarantee you, scheming right now. You know, wherever he's at, probably in the basement of Levi's somewhere. But, man, I'm trying to tell you, man, Pierce Hall's a real deal. I love the way that I agree with you guys, man, how McCaffrey was used. To watch him run the little outs and those little seam patterns and fly patterns, man, that was insane, man. It was great. And that's, like, man, I'm telling you right now, a few times, he had an inauspicious start, and I was like, what is he doing? But then he starts feeling comfortable in the pocket, and a couple times, you guys know this because you watched the game, he was just standing there, just like, not even moving his feet, just standing flat-footed. I was just like, calm and cool, man. And he has a zip on the ball. Purdy's more of a touch guy, but Mac Jones, man, he'd be zipping it in there. You know what I mean? Like Purdy, well, what's going to happen if he can't stay healthy, man? He's getting banged up all the time with little knick-knack injuries, man. This is the NFL, and that means not for long, man. You know, I always keep saying, man, we got to keep Purdy upright. And even, like, last year when he's running sometimes, he got tackled. You can tell he's getting up a little slow, and he's, you know, trying to, you know, deal with the pain and everything. But, man, we got to protect him. And, I think, you know, one way that Shanahan could do that is, you know, like, just running those little passes and getting McCaffrey out there. And Robinson, it was crazy because they said he was suspended, and next thing you know, he's running the ball, you know, straight up the middle. I was like, what? Like, what?
Different Robinson, Nick. You're thinking of DeMarcus Robinson, who still is suspended, but that's Nick in Berkeley. Yeah, Brian Robinson's okay. DeMarcus Robinson is suspended. Can't wait to get DeMarcus Robinson back, and maybe he'll have a Mac Jones connection when he comes back. We'll see. They tweeted it yesterday, by the way. I think it was Adam Schefter saying it's not likely, but there is a possibility that Brock could be back this week. But why would you want to bring him back after Mac Jones looked pretty freaking good yesterday, right? So you want to keep Brock on the sideline as long as possible if he can get healthier as the weeks go on.
Yeah, but you're not out of the woods because when you play, you're going to, you know.
No, exactly.
There's going to be normal wear and tear. So, like, let's say they doesn't play this week. Then you get the Jaguars.
Yes.
And then it's a quick turnaround as the Rams.
It is. So, again, this is why the start that Mac Jones had yesterday is so important in all this, because we do this. We have to compare and contrast. It is this person against that person. We're pitting teammate against teammate. No. Mac Jones winning is good for Brock Purdy and his health. That's how you got to view this thing. Like, if Jake Browning, like, that's how Bengals fans are viewing this, and I want Niner fans to view it the same way. You know, Jake Browning is going to be the backup and now starter for the Bengals as Joe Burrow, the latest breaking news, happened right before our show, going to be out for 3 months at least, having surgery due to turf toe. By the way, speaking of turf toe, it could have been a lot worse for Brock Purdy, so thankfully it's not that severe. But the Bengals fans are viewing Jake Browning, hey, keep us 500, man, these next 2 months. And that's a lot to ask because it is the Cincinnati Bengals, and that might be the toughest division in sports, the AFC North. We understand that. But they're just asking to stay above water. Hey, Mac Jones, you know, be a game or two over 500, that would be great. Keep us floating until Brock gets back. We would love that. That's literally all we need from Mac Jones. And the fact that he looked good yesterday is good for Brock going forward. Just, can we just have a team-first mindset? Why do we have to go to individual players? Is this something that was created with First Take? Is that why? Because we have to just go pit player versus player. It's Jimmy Butler gets the credit. No, it's Stephen Curry.
It predates that. Joe versus Steve. It predates it, you know? Like, Roger Staubach, you're probably too young to remember, but, like, Roger Staubach was battling for years, and they literally would switch quarterbacks series to series before Roger established himself. This has been happening forever.
Mac Jones, 26-39, 279, 3 touchdowns. How are we feeling about him as the quarterback right now, Niner fans? 888-957-9570. Let's go to Sam and Hercules. What's up, Sam? You're on the morning roast.
Hey, what's up, guys? So, go with the positives. We're 2-0. Got a nice backup. CMC's looking very CMC-ish. defense, we got some dogs, man. D-line, linebackers, secondary, just, man, they're playing like they're on fire. My MVP is my boy Winters. Not even missing Greenlaw right now. The negative is the only thing, man. They're one-score games, almost on the verge of losing. Coming down to, like, the last drive, we just need, I feel like we need a few more dogs on offense. CMC's there. Wide receivers, Ricky's nice. But other than that, man, like, we need that alpha. Like, I remember we had Debo. We were getting in scruffs before the game even started, coming out with, like, some passion. Ricky's kind of young. Maybe that's just not his thing right now, but I don't know, maybe like a Tyreek Hill or somebody out there. Bring us somebody else, you know, but that's all I got to say, man.
I think they're firing a wide receiver because they're going to get DeMarcus Robinson back at some point.
And you're going to get George Kittle back.
And Brandon Ayuk. And maybe at some point.
We'll see with Ayuk.
Let's get to the defense, though, because he makes a good point. There are seven guys making major contributions on defense who are one third-year player, one second-year player, and the rest are rookies. You have Collins and West, who are rotational pieces on the inside of that defensive line. Then you have three starters that are all rookies. Mykel Williams. Stout is a starter. He plays so much, he is a starter because so many three wide receiver formation sets. Then you have Marquise Siegel, who's playing. And not the greatest game from him yesterday, but I'm fine with Siegel.
That Juwan Johnson catch was, no, I don't care.
He's right.
I don't care if Ed Reed was right there. Like, it was perfect throwing catch.
Yeah, and then you got a third-year player in Winners who's taking a monster step forward. I mean, we should just start calling him Dre, not D Winners, because he gave you even the penalty.
I was going to say, we haven't even gotten to the penalty, the shot
I'm
at
okay
the end.
With it. That's a bang-bang play near the sideline. Like, you're a linebacker. Like, I'm okay with it. I really am.
I think they gave it to Mykel Williams, but it was D Winners that did it.
And then you have Renardo Green as your other starting cornerback. And look, Stout and Green are going to get tested over and over and over again. Lenore they're not even looking his way. I think one or two passes in two games.
I barely saw number two out there. And that's a good thing. That means in the secondary, that's good. Yeah.
But you have seven young players making massive contributions on defense. If you watch this team last year, there were so many old players who couldn't move. The defense had to get younger and had to get more explosive, and they have. Now it's, okay, you're in position to make plays. Now it's about learning situations a little better and understanding how to make plays without penalties, and that will come with time.
Well, we were talking about this, and I think we've been proven right, but also proven wrong at the same time. At the start of the season, Joe, we were going through the three different levels of the defense and talking about what we were most optimistic and pessimistic about, or just the biggest question marks. I think both you and I were in lockstep. We felt pretty good about the linebacking core.
Yeah.
And we've been proven right there. D-Winners.
Well, D-Winners played better than I expected.
Way better. But even then, we thought he was going to be pretty solid, but not this good
His speed, his closeout ability, and tackling in space has been almost perfect.
And playing with a swagger that's infectious, by the way.
Yes.
Which is something that is kind of unquantifiable, but you know it when you see it, and you saw it last year, even for a half, how much Dre Greenlaw meant to that defense, because you didn't get any of that with Devondre Campbell. So that in and of itself, just the swagger that he brings defensively, alongside the best linebacker in football and Fred Warner, has been massive for this team.
The only little thing that just drives me crazy on these read option, these mesh point plays, Bosa and D-Winners multiple times bit on the wrong thing and went with the running back, and they didn't keep the QB contained. They didn't keep the edge, and they came crashing in. That play has been a bugaboo for them for years. And so as you're looking forward, like, hey, we got Arizona this week. What do you think Kyler's going to do?
He's going to try to do what he did last year and try to throw up the deuces and get you to bite. And he's much quicker than Spencer Rattler, who I thought actually...
Spencer Rattler played good in this game.
Spencer Rattler could have used his legs more, and he had a couple runs there where he was a little shifty.
Johnson dropped balls.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he played really well.
Mac Jones, by the way, with a little hezzy on that. What was that? That 13-yard scamper.
Oh, my goodness. He took off running, and then he jumped in the air, and I was like, you got to get down.
Well, I thought he was going to get fumble something, and then like the tackle was like on his head, like neck area. I was like, oh my god. But yes, just get down there. But he did follow his blockers. I saw Tonjes out there throwing some blocks, and Tonjes again making plays last week, made plays this week, Joey. I was impressed with Jake Tonjes. Now, you're not going to get the replica of a George Kittle out there, but if you can get Tonjes to make a play, Luke Farrell to get his first career touchdown, just a couple catches here and there.
And they played fullback in replace of Juice. Look, I know there's a lot of stands out there. I think they play better with two tight ends as opposed to, and even though I know Juice is more, he does more second tight end type stuff. He's more of an H-back than we give him credit for. I kind of liked what the two tight ends did. I've been begging for them to get a second tight end forever on the field.
Well, finally, and it looks like they got one in Tonjes, and then Farrell, we know they signed him to be that blocking tight end, but he got the catch there. That was good discipline.
He had a nice block on a short yardage play that set up a beautiful play action fake for the red zone touchdown.
Again, the fundamentals, It's not sexy to talk about, but when you see it in action, when you see, you know, and I even saw it from the other end, when Alvin Kamara, that's why I love watching him and CMC, just the patience that, like, elite running backs have in their nature to follow the blocks, let them set it up, and to run behind those guys, both sides, Alvin Kamara, 21 carries, 99 yards, and then Christian McCaffrey, 13 for 55. It was refreshing to watch. 888-957-9570.
God, people are fired up.
They are. We got, is this, that can't be his name, Ugly Timmy? Come on, Timmy, you can't be that ugly. He's calling in Brandon, Dre, Miguel. We'll get to all of you, but first,
he's not
Carter.
Pretty Ricky, he's Ugly Timmy.
He's Ugly Timmy. It leads us to the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
And Joe, you just mentioned this player, Kyle Juszczyk. The 49ers got the win, but they lost juice in the second quarter. He had to exit with a concussion and was quickly ruled out for the game. The 49ers also lost left guard Ben Bartsch due to an ankle injury. He did not return. I thought Connor Colby did well in his place. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. This is coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Another guy that is on the injury report we didn't mention here, Dom Smith. Hell of a play over the weekend, but man, that outstretch, he just knew immediately. It looked painful, put his body on the line. Shout out Dom Smith, who's having a hell of a year. But in his place, Bryce Eldridge getting called up for the Gigantes. Massive series for them coming up here as well after falling to the Dodgers. But, like I said, Ugly Timmy, Brandon, Dre, Skip, Miguel, we'll get to all of you on the other side. Niners 2-0 to start the season. Two massive road wins. And Mac Jones leading the way in place of Brock Purdy. How impressed are we, Niner fans, after this 2-0 start? 888-957-9570 is the number. It's Spadoni, it's Shasky, it's the Morning Roast. We're rolling, baby, on 95.7 The Game.
You can put the cha-ching next to his neck.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.